Way back when I was thinking about starting a high-ticket dropshipping business, the one thing I was looking for was someone to show me what one of these sites looks like. So John and I have done that for you at dropshipbreakthrough.com/go. So head to dropshipbreakthrough.com/go and watch the free training.
And they're like, can I go live with just those three or four? And the answer is the same. Yes, you absolutely can go live, but I can't stress it enough. The biggest mistake I see people make in the beginning is they go live with a limited selection of the brands in their niche, and then they don't try and get any more. They're just like, well, now I'm just going to see if this works or not, and I'm just going to run ads.
Welcome to the Dropship Podcast, where you'll learn how to build and grow a high-ticket dropshipping business and hear stories from successful e-commerce entrepreneurs. Let's kick this thing off. Hey, welcome to the Dropship Podcast. We get this question so often, we figured let's make a podcast on it. You've built your store, you've called suppliers, and you got just your first brand on board. Should I go live? Should I start running ads to just one brand? What should I do once I've got that first brand on board? I'm going to toss it over to John. I think no one's answered this question more than you, John, whether it's in our Slack community or whether it's in the Facebook group, or we've been around, you know, coaching people for 10 years at this point. Should I go live with just one brand?
Yes, you can go live with just one brand if you want to. There is no harm in doing that. I think, you know, in the beginning, you're going to run Google Shopping ads, most likely, where you're advertising individual products. So when somebody clicks on your ad, they go to a product page on your site, and then most of the time they're going to go back to Google Shopping. So the concern a lot of people have is like, if I've only got one brand and I put them on my website, like, isn't everybody going to think my website's really empty and, you know, I'm not going to have so many products and people won't buy from me because I don't have many products on my site. This is what people worry about. And the reality is, in most cases, your customer doesn't even notice, one. And two, they don't care. Like, nobody goes to an e-commerce website, looks at a product they really want to buy that they've been searching for by name or by brand or by model number, and then goes, yep, I'm going to buy that. But first, I'm going to go through every collection page on this website and make sure they've got enough products for me to know to buy from them. That's not customer behavior, right? And so it's really easy to get into your own mind around this. So you can go live usually much earlier than you think. If you've got one brand uploaded, yeah, sure, you can go and run some ads. Test it out, start learning about how your business works. But what's most important if you do that is that you keep calling suppliers and keep getting more brands and keep uploading products after you've gone live. Don't like get, oh, I've got one brand, now I can go live and do nothing else and just try to sell those products. Do that, but also keep putting more products onto your site. I think the reality of what happens though is that people do their first round of supplier calls. You know, you're going to build a supplier list. You know, when you get, you're going to have your website set up, you're going to have a list of suppliers, probably like 20, 30. Some people come up with like 100 if you're in a niche with a lot of brands. And you're going to call through a bunch of them in one go. And usually you're going to get more than one yes. If you're listening in and you'd like to take the first steps towards building your own high-ticket dropshipping business, head to dropshipbreakthrough.com/go, where we've got a free training waiting for you that's going to walk you through the first steps you need to take to start your own high-ticket dropshipping business. And I'm going to walk you through an actual example of what one of these businesses looks like. So I think where most people actually get to is they've got three or four at least approved. And they're like, can I go live with just those three or four? And the answer is the same. Yes, you absolutely can go live, but I can't stress it enough. The biggest mistake I see people make in the beginning is they go live with a limited selection of the brands in their niche, and then they don't try and get any more. They're just like, well, now I'm just going to see if this works or not, and I'm just going to run ads. And what can happen is that sometimes, you know, some brands within every market sell better than others within every niche. Some suppliers' products are more desirable online than offline. And so you're not going to know what those are. Sometimes you can get a bit of an idea maybe of what they are, but you're not actually going to know before you start your business. I definitely know in my experience, even going back to my very first business, some of the best selling products I had were not ones I expected them to be when I put them on the store, right? Some of the brands, I thought, well, that brand's not very prominent online. I put it on, started marketing it, it sold really well. And I was a bit surprised by that. So you're not going to know. And the problem with stopping getting more suppliers when you've got a few is that if you don't get the good selling brands or the brands that are going to sell on your website in the beginning, and then you don't try and get any more, and you just go, well, I'm going to see how this works before I try getting any more suppliers, is that you can give yourself a false negative on your business. You can say, oh, I'm not making many sales yet. This doesn't work. I'm going to change my niche. I'm going to start a new store. Like the amount of times I've heard people say this, they come to me for coaching. They're like, should I change my niche? You know, it's not working out. And I look at the brands they have, and then I look at their competitor websites and some of the other products. And I'm like, well, have you called this brand? Have you called this brand? Have you called this brand? They're like, oh, no. No, or, oh, I tried and they didn't respond back to me and I haven't followed them up or something like this. And so, yeah, that's the thing I would stress the most here. Go live whenever you want, but don't take your foot off the gas of getting more brands, more suppliers, and adding more products to your store so you can discover what products are going to sell the best for you.
Yeah, the only advice I have here, it's more of a question, John. I can relate to those people who are like, but I got nothing else on my site. Won't people not want to buy from me? Well, I think that is generally not the case. I do think in high ticket, people are at least looking at your About Us page. They are at least looking at your content. Like, they want to know whether you're real or not, if they're going to spend $3,000, $4,000, $5,000 with you. And so, like, what advice would you give people? My only advice there, I think, is like, make your phone number prominent and answer your fucking phone. Because like every sale in the beginning is crucial, let alone, you know, people want to know you're real. You'd be shocked how many calls you're going to get who are like, oh, hey. And you're like, mystore.com, how can I help you? And they're like, oh, actually, I just wanted to see if you were real. I'll just go ahead and order now. And like, that's the extent of your conversation. And so, well, I don't think you need a flushed out website. I really do think you should take an hour and have Claude or ChatGPT help you write a meaningful About Us page. Don't just have a contact us box on your contact us page. Like, say something meaningful of like, we're here to help you all the time. If we don't answer your call, we'll return it right away. And then answer your phone. Have your phone number prominent on product pages and let them know they can call you and answer any questions they have. And I know you don't know anything about these products yet. You're worried about being able to answer these questions, but like, this is the stuff you have to power through in the beginning. So I'm with John, turn them on. But you know, what do you say to people like that when they're, maybe they don't need a flushed out website, but certainly they need to look real because they are real, right? Like, I think people are somewhat skeptical online about who they're buying from when they're spending that kind of money.
Yeah. Once again, I no doubt that's true, but going back to what I was saying before, there's a balancing act. It's really easy to overthink that. Yes, some people will be like that, but some people aren't like that. Like, I can show you plenty of sales where person landed on product page from shopping ad and navigated nowhere else on your site and then bought the product, right? So in the beginning, you only need to get those people to prove to yourself that you can make some sales. And so when you've got a new business, you've got this balancing act between getting as much right as you can, which takes time, but also getting your foot in the door and making your first sale. Like, it's so important from like, proving yourself to yourself, like from a mindset perspective, like getting those first sales is such a massive thing. We talked about it, I think, not that long ago on the podcast, a few episodes back, we talked about our first sales. And, you know, it's such a big thing from a mindset perspective about making those first sales that the risk of taking the other direction and going, well, I'm not going to go live until I've got heaps of products and I've got heaps of brands, is that that might take you months. And you're not live and you're not doing anything. And I see people, once again, like I see people who are like, oh, yeah, I started building this site like 6 months ago and blah, blah, blah. And I'm just like, man, that's a missed opportunity, right? And now I'm starting to second guess things and blah, blah, blah. It's like there's a balancing act, right? I think you can go live with a limited number of products, make some sales. Yes, you're probably going to miss some customers as well, probably for other reasons also. Like your site's just not dialed in yet. This is normal. But keep adding suppliers. Like there's just a balancing act. You want to get to making your first sales, but you do want to add more products so that your site does look better and better to somebody who does happen to navigate around a bit. You know, you've got to find a happy medium ground. So that's why I say my happy medium ground, I think, in that is go live if you know you'd like to. You don't have to, but if you'd like to, but keep adding stuff in the following weeks and months. Like don't do both. It's not like a one or the other thing, you know?
Yeah, I've definitely, I literally had one in my inbox last week of I'll go live when, And I, you know, well, that was one of my main questions is like, why aren't you live now? Like, you've got tons of brands, tons of products. I just need to get one more brand dialed in and maybe set up this email sequence. And I think it has more to do with what's between your ears there. So you're right, John. Like, how do you get someone to just jump off the bridge, jump off the cliff, whatever it is, like, you got to go. And if that means one supplier and you're going to go, you know, jump off, run some ads and keep calling suppliers and uploading products, that's probably, I'd rather err on the side of you started too early than you waited too long, because you're only going to get more in your head the longer you wait.
Oh, look, I mean, yeah. I mean, optimizing your website and uploading products, I mean, it's kind of a safe space to play in, right? You know, I can imagine for some people, there's a lot of fear about turning your ads on, because now real people are going to come and look at the shit that you did and they might fucking hate it. And what if they hate it? Like, I'll be a failure. You know, what if I don't make any sales? I've got to start spending money on ads now. Obviously, this is where you really start putting some rubber on the road. And what if I don't get a sale straight away? Like, I'm going to spend money on ads. I might lose that money. I get it. There's a lot of, like, going live, it's a nervous moment. I think I remember in my first business, the night I turned my ads on, I was kind of like, what the fuck's going to happen? This could really suck.
Nothing happens, right? Nothing That's the happened. Worst part.
I probably got you like five there, clicks the have, first day.
Yeah, you have analytics live view on and you're like, where is everyone? Yeah, it's kind of lackluster, to be honest.
Yeah, absolutely. It's definitely not a grand launch. It's always a soft launch with these stores, right? It's a very small launch. But I get where people can have fear about going live. A lot of fear about going live, and I get it. Totally get it. But once again, going live is going to be nowhere near the large event that your mind might be building it up to being, and it's going to be fine. It's better to go live. It's way worse, I think, to get stuck going around in circles and playing in the safe space, because you can tell yourself you're making progress, but you're not really.
Same with like password protecting your store. No one's coming there. No one. Yeah. No one even knows you exist. And so like there's no reason to password protect your store. Just like leave it open so you can work on it. And if your grandma or your friend Billy does stroll down the street and check you out, at least they can be like, wow, that's really cool what they're building. Hopefully that's the case. So anyway, I always love that question. Hopefully we can just start referring people to this podcast when it comes up, because it comes up often. So hope that answered your question out there. Thanks for listening to the Dropship Podcast. You can find all the show notes for this episode at dropshippodcast.com. And if you're ready to take the next step in your dropshipping journey, we invite you to join us inside Dropship Breakthrough, where John and I will walk you through step-by-step in starting your own high-ticket dropshipping e-commerce business. But that's not all. Dropship Breakthrough will also teach you everything you'll need to know to grow your business and take it to the next level. So head over to dropshipbreakthrough.com and sign up for our free training that will help you take the first steps towards building and growing your own profitable high-ticket dropshipping business. All right, let's be real for a second. You've thought about starting a business, maybe you've even tried dropshipping, and it's probably felt like you're just throwing stuff against the wall to see what sticks, right? You're dropshipping some cheap junk from a sketchy website, praying it gets there, and then you're making 12 cents on the dollar. It's a grind. What if there was a different way? A playbook, a blueprint. What if you could skip all the nonsense and build a real business selling high-ticket stuff, I'm talking products over $1,000, from trusted suppliers? Look, John and I distilled 21 years of e-commerce experience into 6 simple checklists. It's the battle-tested blueprint that over 1,000 students have used to launch in 30 days. No more guessing, no more costly mistakes. We're giving you all 6 checklists, plus a video walkthrough for each one for just $9. That's a no-brainer. Go to dropshipbreakthrough.com/checklist to get the ultimate high-ticket dropshipping checklist bundle and stop doing things the hard way. That's dropshipbreakthrough, spelled THRU.com/checklist.